Hello, you're listening to Mastering Alchemy's Best. These live recorded classes offer tools, tips, and concepts to open possibilities and expand opportunities in your life. Take a moment with us to settle in, reset, and enjoy.
Hello, welcome. Very nice to be here as always. This is going to be a conversation. There's going to be a discussion. It's going to be kind of a shifting of energies that are related to kind of these rays of creation. So many of you have played in these rays of creation for a lot of years, and there's an awful lot of you who are just being exposed to this from the standpoint of mastering alchemy. So I kind of really want to go through a little bit of a story and how these rays kind of play out, what they're involved in, how do they got here, where did that whole thing come from, the rays? And so the focus is going to be on this fourth, fifth, and sixth ray. And it's really kind of using this fourth, fifth, and sixth ray a little bit more expanded than how it's been presented pretty much all along in Mastering Alchemy. And the primary reason is that this shifting consciousness that we're playing in is basically opening up the opportunity to use aspects of what you are learning in Mastering Alchemy, things like the rays. We're going to begin to talk more about what happens when those chakras are all reconstructed, as you've kind of all played in. But why all is that important now is because this shift of consciousness is really beginning to accelerate. Really fascinating pieces. I'm going to begin to talk about this fascination that I'm finding with all of this. But this is all around this shift. And right now, that shift is happening. It is unfolding. We've been playing with this octave for the last couple of years, a kind of a bridging mechanism into a higher level of consciousness. But for many, we haven't talked about how did we get here? And so I think this first part of this fourth, fifth, sixth ray, it makes sense to kind of talk about what are these rays? Where did they come from? What are they? How do they work in a manner of speaking? And then there's a whole story about how they've been used and how we got here to this kind of third dimensional game that we've been playing that we're now stepping out of. So let's start with what are the rays? And over a period of time, going back into the 19th century, the theosophists, Madame Blavatsky was a prime driver of theosophy back in the early 1900s, basically brought the rays forward in theosophy. And each of the rays represented a specific quality or attribute of the divine, of the creator, and is the fundamental and is associated with the colors and vibrations and spiritual principles. That was kind of the beginning of that awareness of what are the rays. Each of the rays carries different qualities. The interaction of the rays forms the fabric of everything. Absolutely everything is made from the rays. But the rays are considered the fundamental building blocks of creation. And that's how the archangelics, Uriel particularly, explained the rays. Zadkiel explained the rays in terms of what they do. So let me just kind of talk a little bit about these rays. It's really the first, second, and third rays that somewhat stand alone in the presentation of physicalness. Now, all the rays are independent. They all do certain functions. But this first, second, and third ray pretty much contain all of the building blocks that apply to the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth ray as it relates to physicalness. We'll talk about physicalness. This first ray of creation is the alignment with Creator, simply the light of the Creator, the will of the Creator. And in that alignment with the will of the Creator, the opportunities for things to go right, things to kind of move smoothly, kind of works pretty well. That second ray is very interesting because it holds color. There's an aspect of love, the vastness of love that that second ray expresses. And it also expresses color. All color comes from the second ray. The other attribute, and there are many, but one of the others is that aspect of being able to step vibrations up and step vibrations down. And it's that stepping of vibrations up and down that basically gave way to the creation of physicalness. We'll talk about in a minute. But it's the third ray that is really considered the active vibrations, the active frequencies, the aspects that begin to bring creation into form, into possibility, into movement. So this third ray is made up of components that allow creation to engage, to happen. And Zach Alex explained it fairly well in terms of that third ray exists of magnetism and electricity, electromagnetism, different than the first two, and adhesion. Basically saying that when you play in creation, putting things together and moving them and expanding them is really all about these four principles, these four creations. So in this third dimensional game where we play, this presence of those four principles is very much involved in pretty much everything we do. So really simple, just kind of set that in motion, but these rays are the creation of everything. Everything's created from the rays. Every thought you think, every movement your body takes, the patterns of moving from day to day, all a function of the rays. Everything about you, about the planet, about the universe, is about the rays. So kind of having an understanding of how they work is useful, particularly right now as this expansion, as this shifting transition occurs. And this shifting transition right now is stepping up pretty significantly. And the rays are beginning to be used in both expanded and different configurations. And we'll talk about that today or tomorrow. So would you just sit back and take a breath? Just sit back and take a breath. Nothing more than that. We're not going to work. Just going to simply begin to look at kind of how did we get here and how do we begin to understand some of the pieces. Now, those who have been around for a long time have kind of heard a bunch of what is about to be said. But again, there's a lot of people who haven't heard it. I don't think I've kind of talked about pieces of the fall of consciousness and density and dimensions for quite a while. So if you just kind of bear with me, kind of explaining those points. But let me also ask you, those of you who have been around for a while, as you're hearing it, there's going to be other layers of awareness that are going to come in on some of these things that are being said. So you may have heard some of this before, but you're going to very possibly begin to see other applications, other circumstance, other opportunities, kind of just in this next short conversation. So often people say, where did this all come from? And so kind of came from Creator. And Uriel, way back at the beginning of Mastery Alchemy, kind of said, let me tell you the story of what many of you call the fall of consciousness. It didn't happen how you understand the fall of consciousness. And so the short version was the Creator wished to know itself. And Uriel said there were aspects of all that is that were unseen or, say, blank. And the Creator wished to know itself in those spaces. And so what it did is it, my words, kind of reached into itself and created the Creator Gods, little g. And the Creator Gods, all in the light of the Creator, basically were given a blueprint and said, go out and create. And they did. And they created great things. And in the process of all of that creation, and I think Metatron stepped in here with part of the conversation, there was, they followed the blueprint. And at some point, it became obvious that there's got to be more than what was in the blueprint. And so it was said that the Creator Gods went back to the Creator and asked for more. And the Creator expanded the blueprint, and in that process, basically created things, and this, I'm using this here, created free will. Said, go and create as you wish. But it's also said, here's all in the light of the Creator. And so the Creator Gods went out and created planets and created more Creator Gods, and they created more Creator Gods, and everything went along real well. But at some point, it began to be noticed that a lot of the Creator Gods creating these fabulous things weren't using the light of the Creator. You know, they were all in the light of the Creator, but they weren't using it to create creation. They were doing it in their own light. And no big deal. But eventually it began to be noticed that as they played in these different creations, the light was not as bright. And so there was a discussion, according to Uriel or Metatron, and it was decided by the, I want to say the older Creator Gods, which isn't correct, but that a lot of the newer Creator Gods didn't have some of the information or didn't recognize the information or didn't recognize why you do use the light of the Creator. And so there was a decision that was made that basically said, if you wish to play in the light of the Creator, that's where you play. But if you choose not to play in the light of the Creator, the light of the Creator is not available. Now, that's like saying, I'm going to give you darkness and you've never know what darkness is, in my words. And so apparently that got a lot of attention and everybody moved back into playing in the light of the Creator most of the time. But some of the beings, some of the Creator Gods, really loved what they were creating. And they were creating in love and joy and light and, you know, perfect creations, great creations. They were, but not with the light of the Creator. So this kind of played out. And one of the things that happened along the way is, and it was never explained, but it was physicalness was thought up. Now, to that point, everything was non-physical. There was nothing that was physical. And so, however, physicalness was thought up, it was a great creation. That was the whole purpose, creation. And physicalness was created. And so I'm going to try to keep it simple and just talk about, let's call it 12 dimensions in physicalness. There was more, and 12 dimensions is not correct, but for the purpose of the example. In that first layer, that 12th dimension, all the light of the Creator was there, although the Creator's God's light was there. But in density, you began to take on a different configuration of light. Light frequencies were turned into particles of light density. And everything worked fine. And then somebody decided that, what if we made it more dense? And so let's just call that the 11th dimension. I'm making up this dimension, titles, numbers. And in that 11th dimension, things worked differently. It was like going to a great university for engineering, and now a new great university was created for cooking. And so you didn't bring all your engineering skills with you, but nobody lost anything. They had all their abilities, a different focus. And then the 10th dimension, the 9th dimension, 8th, 7th, 6th dimension. And every time that happened, the density was what was being played with. It got thicker, it got changed, it got heavier. It all worked. It was nothing. You would think a thought and the thought would function. But then when it started to get down to the 4th dimension, 5th dimension, physicalness began to be great, much more dense. And we're not talking about some of the really airy layers of density. We're talking now, as you get closer to this 5th dimension, physicalness as in the earth, physicalness, rocks. But in that 5th dimensional space, everything continued to work. You would think a thought and draw to you the feelings, and the apple would appear, as it always had. But when it got to the 4th dimension, 4th dimension is a thought realm, it's not a physical realm. What began to happen is, in those densities, as it got denser and denser, those creations that were created by the Creator gods that were not using the light of the Creator began to create wobbles, began to create misalignments, began to create things that were not of the light. And so when it got down into this 4th dimension, thought realm, it began to have emotions that were misaligned. We fell from heart feelings into emotions. You remember, emotions we've just defined loosely as things that have edges: anger, rage, jealousy, resentment. Feelings, no edges: beauty, gratitude, appreciation. It was the edges where the light of the Creator would have smoothed them out that didn't exist. And so as it began to play in that space, there started to be wobbles. And over time, as the great beings began to come and play in the 12, well, let me see if I want to add that, play in physicalness, they began to bump into things that didn't work quite as well. And there were 12 planets spread all over that were considered the Christed planets. These were the most beautiful of the physical creations in form. And these great beings came and went and came and went. They did that on the seventh ray. We'll talk about it another time. And they were able to go from non-physicalness into physicalness. But when they did that, quite often they wound up bumping into the wobbles. They began to have engagement with off-balance mutations. And it began to disrupt them. And many of them got caught up in it. And things like fear began to materialize at a greater level. And many of these great beings got caught up in the whole game and got kind of trapped in it. Great beings. Now, there was another part of the story that comes in here. The creator gods created the angelic realm. And the purpose of the angelic realm was to enjoy the creations. It was like a great symphony was created, and the angelic realms would be the audience. That was their purpose, to enjoy the creations. But many of the angelics, the archangelics, as they played in this fourth and then into the third dimension, they became very consumed and were kind of stuck. They couldn't get out. So one of the things that the archangelics did, they petitioned the creator, and they basically said, we would like a job change, a job definition changed. We would like to take on the responsibility of unraveling all of these beings in the angelic realm from the mutations of density. So take a breath. Now, right here, also kind of notice yourself. Some of you will believe you were them, and you may have been. No understanding here, just no statement. Some of you will feel the feelings of these statements. There's a reason. But what happened was, as this third dimension was created, there was never a failure. There's never a failure. There's just simply an experience, a creation. And the creation looks like this, or the creation looks like that. And this creation was the same thing. It was a creation that had all of a sudden an interesting wobble, an interesting anomaly, something that had never been seen before. Unexpected, not intended. There were no bad angels. There were no wars. There were no, none of those things happened. But in the third dimension, there were all of those opportunities for wars and aliens and all the stories you hear. It wasn't the archangelics. It wasn't the angelic realm. It was the beings that were trapped in the game of the fourth and third dimension. You know them well. Look around. Look at the world today. But the difference is today we're coming out of that game. We're not staying in it. And the game was really deep. And many of these great beings got caught so much in the game. In my words, it was like they were encased in a block of cement, fully conscious forever. And so, in order to kind of unravel this and figure out how to get out of it, one of the things that was created, creator gods, the Elohim, the archangelics, the lords of light, all basically recognized that what was that level of knowing consciousness and fullness was, my words again, kind of going to drive them crazy. And so they disconnected the mechanisms that allowed consciousness to be completely available, as it always had been. So now you have this new game. It was game. It wasn't a failure. It wasn't punishment. It was simply called separation. What would happen if we recognize that life occurred without connection to the light of the Creator? That was conscious. And so that game unfolded. And it was also really clear that we have to disconnect in order to begin to rebuild and recreate and redesign to get everybody out. We can put them back together, but we're not going to leave them being, Jim's words, crazy. So now take another breath if you would. Because this story has resonance in the genetic coding within the DNA of the physical body. Would you like to unravel that? Oh, well, I'm ahead of myself. So, another breath. So the story from here, from there to here, is, or to a point, has been an evolution of beginning to wake up. And the story is just amazing. One of the aspects of the story is that in that place where everybody was contained, it was, let's let them expand somewhat, begin to move them out of that state of being. And so little pieces of consciousness, so little constructs of their consciousness would kind of be brought back into their awareness. There are many layers of civilization that have happened on this planet that don't show up in the textbooks. There's a lot of intelligence that existed on this planet as civilizations that just simply aren't talked about. In each one of those, I'm going to just use that example, they began to become more conscious. No, this word conscious is a big deal, conscious. And as that occurred, things progressed. We're talking a long time in this evolution. And there got to be a point where it was determined that the energies of masculine and feminine needed to be brought back into the game, the flow and the structure of creation. One doesn't work without the other. And so they began to bring more of the flow back into the structure. And as that happened, there began to be more, let's call it freedom in the process. And at that point, it was determined that there needed to be more feminine energy brought into the alignment of these beings. But it was brought in from the standpoint of the mother. There had to be some level of authority and some level of discipline and some level of orderliness, all structure, masculine constructs. And it had to be administered in a way there was flexibility and fluidity and love from the feminine side of creation. And it began to be brought into the game. But something happened along the way. That energetic masculine energetic, that structure, that resistance, that distortion in mutations, as consciousness began to wake up in form, it was really angry. All those mutations began to come back to the surface, resentment, etc. So the mother was kind of very authoritative, purposely in the means of nurturing consciousness back into balance. But to a great extent, that masculine energy rebelled and basically made a decision that the mother was of no value. Does that sound familiar? Women have no value. We're back into a place now that's more current, but we're back hundreds and hundreds of years. No value. That whole construct in the Middle East, in Asia, center points of the attention at the time, began to wake up, began to be nurtured, began to be given fluidity, and choices were made. Free will was there all along to choose. They were not happy. That process is still present today. So as this evolution occurred, let me take us up to a couple hundred years ago. There have been lots of technological changes that have come about, changes that allowed for expanded opportunity, ease, different possibilities to come about. You've seen technological changes, the railroads, the printing press. So every time you have a technological change, you have a massive shift in the culture and in the consciousness and in the flow. Today, we have some extraordinarily presented technologies. They are all spiritual. They are all spiritual. But we'll get to that in a moment. And so this space has been now evolving in technological changes, cultural changes. All of a sudden, people were living with heat. People were living in enclosures rather than caves. People all of a sudden had food available, etc. The culture shifted. So let me fast forward to 1987, odd point in time. And in 1987, a question was asked of you. You. You may have been conscious. You may have been completely unconscious. You may have not been able to respond to the question, but the question was asked to everybody on the planet. Now, I missed one piece of the story. Those 12 planets, Christed planets, aspects of love of the Creator, they were all influenced by the third dimension. But one planet in particular became so inundated with distortion, mutations, anger, fear, that it could no longer hold love. And it fell, dropped. It kind of no longer could radiate the light that it once had. You want to guess? This planet. And so all that evolution to this point, 1987, came about. And in 1987, a question was asked. And it was the fifth time the question was asked all along the way. It's questionable whether or not we can turn this into what is intended, love, beauty, well-being, back into consciousness where everybody can basically experience themselves free from the mutations and the distortions. The sixth time the question was asked. The previous five, the answer was, we're not capable of making this happen. But in 1987, it didn't take 51% of the population. It took a powerful handful. You, but whether you remember or not, many of you are really clear about remembering. And this time, we said yes. Everything changed. Your genetics changed. This will be a bigger part of a discussion in a future point. Your genetics changed. The coding system in your DNA, built upon the story that you had lived, was rewritten. Much of what happened prior to 1987 in your awareness right now is just simply a story that's in the genetics. You don't remember what led up to that story. You have a story. Now, don't put a lot into that right now. But this progression of those who said yes has been enormously successful. And more have woken up, and more have come along, and more have stood up, and more are awakening. Many of you right now, right here. But in the process, many things changed. 1992, 1994, shifts changed. 2000, Y2K, a spiritual event that had to reconstruct and reset the motion. It did successfully, much more so than just the computers. But then from 2001 through 2011, mechanically, just moved forward with change. 2011, there was a promise that was made by Yeshua. The Christ consciousness will return to the planet. 2011, that happened. But it was 2012 with the presence of the Christed light, the love of the Creator, that allowed 2012 to happen. 2012 being a kind of a reboot, a new software, a new operating system installed into the computer, in a manner of speaking. A reset occurred. And at that point, the third dimension, as it had been understood, basically came to a conclusion. And in a conference on that day, 12-12-12, Metatron stood up and said, there will never be another child ever born into the third dimension anywhere. That's just not this planet. From 2012 into about 2017, reset. You kind of had to fumble around. Everything was changing. In 2017, things began to come more visible. 2020, a massive shift of consciousness. Coronavirus, a spiritual event, disrupted absolutely everything on the planet, interrupted the third dimension. And here we are in disruption, in some levels of disorder, some levels of frustration, because it wasn't just the Y2K disrupted, the octave also presented. Now, also in that period of time, many of you participated in an event, the park bench, the creation of a new realm of consciousness that specifically was set to meet the objective that was asked, do you want to participate in creating a new realm of consciousness for humanity to step into. You did that. Many of you did that. 5,000 of you participated. In that new realm, this octave was brought into presence. A bridge, if you would, that allows the stepping into this new alignment of energy. Now, a couple things along the way happened also. And going back to that fourth dimensional space, the thought realm. Do you ever ask yourself, where does the thought go when you're done thinking the thought you just got done thinking? Because it doesn't just poof, go away. It goes somewhere. It goes into the thought realm. In that period of time where there was distortion and mutation, and then the evolving coming out of that, so much anger, fear, resentment, etc., was created, thoughts, that the emotional body of the earth became the fourth dimensional thought realm. The earth surrounded by thoughts, and a great portion of those thoughts are very, very angry and negative. Take another breath, because as I'm watching, many of you are rearranging. Some of you are falling asleep. Some of you are having thoughts. Allow it, because the whole purpose is, how do you use this fourth, fifth, and sixth rays? We may get to it today. We'll get to it tomorrow, but we'll get to it today somewhat. So here you are in a space that is evolving. And so rather than trying to bring this third dimensional space into a level of well-being, the third dimensional space, it is not the earth, it is not form, it is not physicalness, it's the thoughts and the emotions that are magnetically locked into place, or with adhesion. I'm stuck. I don't like this, but I'm stuck. Or electricity. I'm really angry about this. It's really got me all charged up. Or the electromagnetism. I hate this. I'm never going to let this go. They're never going to be nice people. Who's got the rock in their backpack? And many of those people that we hate don't even know it. In fact, many of them don't even remember you. Well, not you, you're evolved. So another breath. So here we are at a very interesting place. And playing in Mastering Alchemy is not the only game on the planet. There are many games of transmutation, transformation, expansion. But this one is very specific. It has purpose. All have purpose, but this has a specific purpose. And so this awareness is beginning to expand very exponentially. It is beginning to accelerate at a rate squared. It is no longer just a technology and a new cultural shift. This is a massive shift. On the face of it, it makes no sense. When we get to playing in that conference, hopefully with five or six different workshops between here and there, it will begin to make sense. But right now, if it was laid out what's happening, going into this state of consciousness, stepping into this intelligence, this knowledge, this wisdom, because that's what it is. Creator has wisdom, intelligence, knowledge. That's the part that hasn't been turned back on yet of all of those that were kind of caught in the game. So right here, this octave, two solstices ago, or two summer solstices ago, began to present. It's expanding, and now it's expanding significantly. And with that one event that is forgotten by many, that one event in March, that one crack in the ray, crack in the veils, that one level of light that now begins to bring in consciousness into awareness is what's being presented. And so how do we play in this? Play in it with the fourth, fifth, sixth ray, first, second, third ray, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth ray. There's an 11th ray also. Actually, there are probably many more. And each one of the rays are configurations of those first three. Some combination of those first three. Love of the Creator, the will and the power of the Creator, and that active intelligence of the third ray. So as we begin to move into this next 6 months, particularly, and then it accelerates from there, we're going to start to begin to step out of the belief system of that third dimensional game into consciousness. Stepping into the intelligence, the wisdom, the knowledge, the consciousness. And there's going to be some shifts. And one of the shifts that has not been explored in that third dimensional space, we've talked about rules and structures, talked about emotions are magnetic, thoughts are electrical, feelings are from the heart, aspects of love and joy. But stepping into this octave, the ability to loosen up belief systems, loosen up constructs, loosen up considerations that you've never explored or even had. So let me softly, say that again, softly, this is not meant to be the truth hard and fast. So hear it softly. In that third dimensional experience, particularly over the last 5,000 years, the word that we each felt in the heart, pursued when possible, wished to experience spirituality. We pursue spirituality. Spirituality, as you step into this octave, step into this fifth multidimensional space. And very quickly, we're going to take the labels away from fifth and multidimension. It's consciousness, it's intelligence, it's wisdom, it's living consciousness. Spirituality, very much the path of that third dimensional game, got us all here. But there's more. There's a lot more. And this is the space where we're now beginning to loosen up and let go of those last constructs, last limitations that were placed into the game of 3D to basically keep everybody in a place to mature and grow into the next place of consciousness. In this next place, there are no limitations, no restrictions, unlimited possibilities, opportunity, choices, all without the limitations, mutations, distortions of the third dimensional game. Now, we're going to ease into this set of topics because it's disruptive. Wait, you mean you're telling me? Yeah. But it's not that we're telling you, we're providing an awareness of consciousness. In the consciousness, you choose. In the consciousness, there's no limitations. And so in simple terms, if we're just postulating, the word spirituality has limitations. Where did you get most of your upbringing from spirituality? Was it from the heart? Was it from the external world that 3D goes to get permission to be okay? Now, keep it simple, not interrupting a belief system here, just posing an expanded choice that might be considered. Spirituality has its purpose. We're just going to pose that it's in the third dimension. In the expansion beyond that limitation of religion or belief or metaphysics or 5,000 years of, well, this is what went before me. What if you could wake up from this experience? What if you could step into consciousness? All that is wisdom, intelligence, and basically begin to recognize that consciousness has no fear, no hate, no control, no domination, no imposition, no one better than another. Consciousness, co-creation, well-being, choice. Now, the interesting part is as that begins to be understood or accepted or recognized, that this space that we're in right now is acceleration that is astonishing. And we're going to play with this acceleration, and we're going to basically begin to recognize how to use the rays of creation. Why did I change those chakras from where they were to something greater? Why did we take the operating system out of the chakras and put it in the heart? Why are we changing the neuron messaging system in the brain? Why are we changing and playing with ATP and ADP, the structure of longevity? Why are we playing with the platonic solids? There is a reason for every one of those actions that you're playing with in this journey of mastering alchemy. So, would it be interesting to begin to step into this octave? We've been talking about it in deep dive. Many mastery people are living in it. It's a place where we've been nurturing this space for all to be able to comfortably step in successfully. That new realm of consciousness, the architecture, the landscape, the environments are all well being established. It's all about joy and ease, buoyancy. You see, there's changes. So let's explore here for a couple minutes in terms of how do I position myself based on that story in order to be able to shift my attention point into consciousness, begin to recognize there's really two parts, two components: consciousness, the intelligence, wisdom, the knowledge, the creator, all that is to be grasped, to be played with, to draw to yourself, and energy. Energy, simply the alignment of the rays, playing with the rays, playing with the tonic solids, aligning the energy into a coded string of thoughts and emotions, feelings rather, that when I ask for the apple simply appears without any doubts. Like an apple. It's not only the apple when you ask the question for the apple, you basically understand the taste, the texture, the color, the shape, the sweetness, the flavor. See, all those components of the apple, you know that as you are manifesting the apple. And you simply hand the apple to the little girl who's hungry and smile and walk away. That's what is in the consciousness through the octave that we're beginning to step into. Take another breath. Now, many of you heard parts of this story previously. Many of you have never heard this story. But the story is being told in a very different energetic field of consciousness than it has ever been told before to those who've heard it. Now take a breath. How do you wish to experience yourself? No thinking. Right now, you know how to build platforms. You know how to align with feelings. Havingness. Is that a word that comes into possibility here? Curiosity. Allowing. Can I allow this? I'm not sure I understand what was just said. I don't even know if I believe what was just said. But can you allow? Now, one of the things we've been talking about more of late is that vibration of fear and excitement are identical. It is the same vibration. One steps back, worries, doubts, hesitates, withdraws. And one steps forward, expands, and enjoys. The vibration. Can you, right here, without having to know the answer is, I used this example earlier today. It's like me saying, here, there's a door, and here's a key. And on the other side, is this really remarkable sense of yourself. And you begin to say, well, tell me more, because I want to make sure, I'm stepping backwards, I want to make sure that this is kind of what I want. And then are you, I want that. Now, are you sure the key is going to work into the door? And then do I push the door or do I pull the door? No, you just walk through the door. You don't even open the door. See, that concept, walking through the door, is not even available. I know you cannot walk through that door. And as long as you know that to be true, it is. So what creates that rigidity and that belief? Third dimension. This is how it is. This is how it's always been. This is what I was told. This is my habit. So it's the octave that allows this ability to find joy without having to. It's like, yeah, I'll just walk through the door. There's no hesitation. You may try it, you may not try it, but you know you can do it, and it just begins to be a knowingness, and then it begins to be a whole set of possibilities. And so maybe you're not going to walk through the door. That's kind of just a thing that's not important in any way, shape, or form. It's what else can you do? Can I enjoy myself? Can I laugh like I get used to once upon a time where I fell on the ground and it hurt and they didn't stop and I laughed and I enjoyed myself. Take another breath, because all this part of the conversation is just simply pointing to how to do it. It's not an education. It's just simply, just look over there. Look over there. There's something that's there that you've never seen before. You see it right here. Can you be in joy right this minute? Can you just simply smile, find yourself like, see, we just shifted the energy. Can you enjoy this energy? It's like, wow, this is cool. I like this. It's stepping into this octave. Can you just simply be there right now? Joy. I'm going to be happy. Maybe keep it simple. I like me. Pleased with myself. Level one. Never went away. I like me. It's a smile. Can you find the smile? Can you allow the smile? And that sense of joy, if you just kind of relax and allow the smile to be bigger. See, the smile amplifies right here. It amplifies. It begins to, the electricity begins to expand. There's nothing in the way of it. It's like, I can have this level. I can have more. It doesn't have to be explained. It's like, I'm happy. I like me. See, the octave begins to allow you to really step out of the 3D electromagnetic fields, third ray, that electricity of emotion, I'm angry, the stuck place, I don't know what to do. See, that's how it plays out in the third dimension. It's a habit. It's how everybody else does it. I learned it by looking outside of my heart. The smile, how's it working? Now, the thing is, right here, all that's required right here is the smile. Everything else takes care of itself. It feels good in the heart. You smile from the heart. I like me. And would you just also notice the vibration of relaxed? Would you just be relaxed? Comfortable. Find just another breath. Sit back. Relaxed. Comfortable, smile. Now, comfortable is kind of smooth, it's light, there's no edges. Relaxed fits right into comfortable. It's like, I can just let go of one more breath and one more exhale, relaxed. And I'm simply being in the octave. Just let's frame it here. I don't know what this is, but it feels good. I like this. I'm comfortable, relaxed, and there's a smile. And if you notice, there's a happy or a joy or a pleased with myself that's really attached to that smile. Relaxed, comfortable. And then would you intentionally make the smile a little bigger. And now the feeling, the intention, it's like yes, and the smile gets bigger. I like me. And I'm comfortable. Right here, there's nothing broken, nothing needs to be fixed. And it's right here where I can allow, I can give myself permission, but it's right here where I can just consider looking at a little different attention point because it's just been brought into physical. Now remember stepping down, density, stepping it down. Right here, we're stepping it up from that 3D world. It's just beginning to be. You mean I don't have to hold on to that? No. I can be comfortable? Yes. I can give to myself? Yes. I'm allowed to have this? Yes. But see, you don't need somebody else's permission. It's just like, yes, this is who I am. Now, be very much in the center of your head and in the heart. Aware, be aware. I'm comfortable. I'm in this smile. But I'm aware. And awareness generally creates a breath. And you see, right here, there's intelligence. There's consciousness that is intelligent. Now, the really interesting part is right here, that conscious intelligence is you. You. You see, that space where I've been stuck in this third dimensional construct, these rules and structures, even this belief that pursuing spirituality, it was the answer. It was, it is. But there's more when it's the label is removed. Consciousness. All that is, and this is me. Here I am. This little piece right here where I'm holding my attention in this smile, I'm conscious. I'm in consciousness. I'm aware of an expansion. No thinking, just allow. There's an expansion. There's no limitation. Unlimited possibilities. The interesting part is I can begin to imagine. Oh, that's so special. The format of creation. Imagine. We'll talk more about that next month. Imagine allowing. Now, there's a wave of light that's simply moving. It's really that moving sidewalk beginning to carry you. We'll talk about ninth ray, carrier waves. Kind of Aladdin's magic carpet, the moving sidewalk. Your first class seat. I kind of notice there it's getting lighter in weight, lighter in color, lighter in just a sense of ease. These aren't words, these are feelings, these are awarenesses, these is I'm noticing, I'm lighter. I'm curious, if I take another breath, do I get lighter? Yes. Take the breath. This moving sidewalk is accelerating. Oh, you've been on it for some time, many, and it's just been comfortable. It's been something's different, but it's about to accelerate and accelerate into the joy, into the intelligence. It's there's a place where we're going to play when we get to that conference out in the future, this intelligence. It's simply is this level of consciousness that allows love to be part of the intelligence. It basically begins to simply override the construct of the third dimensional game of separation, of duality, of imposition, because that does not hold love. It doesn't hold intelligence. See, here, if you were asked, how do I redesign the world? It would not be hard. I would add beauty, laughter. I would have comfortableness. I would enjoy. There would be no fear. See, you don't remove fear. You just simply be in the octave. I would say hello. I would appreciate something interesting. I never knew that before. So redesigning the world is not complicated in the octave. But in 3D, there's push and shove and right and wrong and good and bad. That's 3D. See, the 3D holds a level of spirituality. It's kind of the direction, but it's a lot of it is old. Don't be offended here. A lot of it is old. It simply, by definition, says women aren't good. Those people aren't good. This is the only truth. This consciousness knows differently. This is a different, this is an awakening. This is going home. This is no. This is being home. You never left home. It's simply stepping out of an attention point. Comfortably. Now, let's begin to have a completion right here, but would you just kind of quietly notice yourself? What if this was correct? What if this was real? What if I could enjoy myself without consequence, without the fear, without the limitations in the densities? And then choose, I can do this. I enjoy this smile. It It's not a concept, it's a choice, it's an action, it's an experience without the limitation of that third dimensional experience. Now, would you just be pleased with yourself? Take another breath. The smile is good. And without really any effort at all, conscious. Would you be aware you're sitting in a chair and in a room? But nothing changes. You just become aware of something a little bit outside of this space. The room's been there all along. I like me. Can you find a little excitement, a step forward, a possibility, a consideration, a remembering, a joy, a step forward, an excitement? There's a room around me. I'm fine. Another breath. And would you simply be complete for the moment without changing anything? Nothing goes away. I'm just going to pause right here. I'm going to be complete for this moment. And nothing changed. Just kind of play at this space. Go to sleep in this space. Wake up in this space. Decide I'm comfortable in this expanding intelligence, this consciousness. Would you take another breath and just allow your eyes to open? Be complete, but don't move. Just kind of reflect for a moment. Enjoy the moment. Don't jump up. For a moment, just kind of sit there and what did you do for the last hour and 20 minutes? I kind of rearranged myself. So allow us to be complete right here because much is happening that's really, really exciting. So with that, have a wonderful day, evening, morning, wherever you are. Blessings.
Thanks for spending time with us today. You'll find more resources to enjoy and information about our program courses by visiting masteringalchemy.com.